T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here to analyze it all, there's nobody better. The great Ray Dittiger from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Hi, Ray.
Morning, Ange.
Ray, how bad was that loss?
You saw it.
Yeah. I need you to find the words to describe it.
No, it was really bad top to bottom. It was. I mean, when we had to do our report cards at the end, man, I was handing out these like jelly beans on Halloween. It was just it was really bad. You start with the coaching. I would agree with that. And the thing was, it was so bad right from the start. I mean, that first Giants possession where they just take the ball and they just drive it right down the field. 8 plays, 85 yards, boom. You know, and it's and they just never. I knew, and you and I, when we talked on Thursday, I said I thought this was going to be a really tough game based on what I had seen of the Giants. They were the one team in the division that seemed to be improving as the year went along. The other teams, not at all. But the Giants were one team. I'm not saying that they're good, but they were the one team that had shown progress from week to week. And I expected them to be a real tough out. But, you know, to come off your bye into this game and then have the Giants on their first two possessions go right down the field on you, 85 yards for a touchdown and 75 yards for a touchdown, 31st ranked offense in the league, and you're down 14-3 in the first quarter. Unacceptable. You know, and I mean, sometimes you fall back on stuff when you say they didn't look prepared. And sometimes it's an easy thing for fans to say. But in all honesty, I mean, if I really try to break this thing down, and I did last night when I went home and I just looked at it and studied it, they did. They just looked ill prepared. They emotionally, tactically, every other way. They looked ill prepared on offense. They looked ill prepared on defense. And as you pointed out, even the special teams were lousy. I mean, this was top to bottom. And
right. You
know, right now that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with what I mean. You can only define as a broken team right now.
Right. There is nobody who could make a logical argument against anything you said. But we need to know why. If we as a fan base are dying for the game and are really psyched up and ready to go, why aren't they ready? It doesn't make sense to us.
No, me either. Me either. Because you had – I mean, you don't want to talk about it, – it's so funny because they had back-to-back wins going into the bye. And if you told somebody that they were on a winning streak, they would have laughed at you because they didn't look like anything. They didn't look anything like a team that was on a winning streak. But, okay, but they were. I mean, they had won two in a row. And – they had the bye, and they found themselves in first place in this bad division. And so, actually, they should have been thanking their lucky stars to be where they were. And, you know, they have the week to rest. They're starting to get some of their players back. The excuse that we had that they're racked with injuries, well, that's not so true. I mean, now you got Lane Johnson back. You got Miles Sanders back. You got Jeffrey back, for whatever that's worth. But you're starting to get players back. You're coming off the bye. You've won two in a row. Haven't played particularly well, but you have won two in a row. You're in first place. There's every reason in the world for this team to come out. And we've said all along that the division games are the biggest games that matter because you got to win your division. So the best way to win your division is to beat these other bad teams in your division. It's all sitting right in front of you. And you come out and you play that badly in the first quarter. You know, I mean, you can point to it, and it's as obvious can be. And the blame has to be shared by everybody. But you ask me to explain it, I can't explain it. It does start with coaching. There's no question it starts with coaching. But some of the responsibility should fall on some of the players. I mean, the guys within the team, the leaders within the team have to pick it up too. But I think it just speaks to what's really, really wrong with this team top to bottom, that they come out in a game that's really kind of that important to them, and they play that badly right from the jump. It's really inexcusable.
All right, you work for NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm going to read the headline that is on the homepage right now, Ray, because it's a question. I would like you to answer it. Is time running out on Doug Peterson?
I honestly don't think so. In terms of how hot a hot seat is he on, I don't think so. And I'm basing this partly on what my reading on Jeff Lurie is. I think that I'm sure he's upset. I'm sure he's frustrated like everybody else is. But I don't think he's to the point where he's thinking about at the end of this year pulling the plug on the head coach. I just don't think so. I think the feeling within the organization will probably be that this was just a crazy year. You know, the 2020 was just this crazy year that a guy, you know, the one coach that won a Super Bowl for you, you can't fire him in the year 2020. It's just you got to almost give this one a mulligan, which I think is kind of lame. You know, I mean, everybody, it's not like this was just happened here in Philadelphia. I mean, everybody was dealing with it. So to use that as the excuse, I don't think is 100% true. But I think that's kind of the way Jeff is going to look at it. You know, look, you know, we know what Doug did, won a Super Bowl, took the team to the playoffs 3 years in a row. We're not going to fire him on the basis of what happened in the year of 2020, because the year of 2020 is unlike any other. I think that will be the internal rationale.
All right.
If they go 0-5 over these next five games, which is entirely possible, the way they're playing now and the way the schedule lays out, yeah, then who knows? Things might change. But right now, I don't feel that. Will there be changes? Oh, yeah, there'll be changes.
Well, that's
where I'm going. But I don't think it's a head coach.
Let me go. Let me see that. Because, see, I get emails right after in the height of passion and anger, Ray, and the fans want somebody's head to roll. Schwartz, Phipp, 8 years here, two different coaching staffs. The special teams, terrible. Schwartz, team not ready to play. Is anybody in trouble right now, Ray?
Well, I certainly think you have to take a long, hard look at your talent evaluation and your scouting department and your drafting, because that's a big part of the reason you are where you are.
Right.
I think you got to look internally at your coaching staff and the fact that they have been utterly unable to fix this quarterback all year. Those are obvious areas to me. I when you look at where Wentz is, and I guess all conversations kind of lead back to Wentz. I mean, he's playing really poorly. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over yesterday, but he also didn't do anything that really was going to help you win. But if you look at the year that he's having, what makes it even more puzzling and in some ways more frightening is he's having this kind of year in a year when quarterbacks all over the league are going crazy. You know, I mean, it's never been easier for a quarterback to play in the NFL than it is right now. I mean, going into this weekend's games, going into yesterday's games, there were 10 quarterbacks across the league that had quarterback efficiency ratings over 100.
Wow.
Okay, 10 quarterbacks had quarterback efficiency ratings over 100. The three rookies, Herbert, Burrow, and Tagliola, had a combined quarterback efficiency rating of 96.5. The three rookies.
Wow.
Now you got Carson Wentz is poking along at 73.
Wow.
You know, you put those two things side by side, and then you realize really how deep in a funk this guy is. If he's that far behind the curve, not just the top quarterbacks, but he's that far behind the three rookie starters, you know, where is he? You know, and that's, you know, and some of the stuff that he said yesterday in his press conference, I'm just, between he and Doug, I mean, it just, you know, I one of the things that bothered me was, you know, was the everybody was harping on the 0-for-9 on third down conversions, which is really bad. I mean, if you can't convert a third down, you just can't win in today's NFL. And they kind of were writing it off to, well, you know, it was one game, and you got to give the Giants credit; their defense is good, their defense is improving. I'll grant you that, but it's not just that, and it's not just the Giants. You go back the last four games. They were 0-for-9 on third down yesterday. Yeah, okay. They were 3-for-8 the week before that. They were 4-for-13 the week before that. They were 3-for-12 the week before that. They're 10-for-42 on third down in their last four games. So this isn't like, you know, the quote-unquote, oh, look, we got to tip our hat to the Giants. No, this has very little to do with the Giants. This is all about what you are as an offensive team. And the other part of it was, Carson said, oh, numerous times in his thing, well, you know, you can't go deep against this team. You know, we I know we didn't throw any deep balls, but, you know, they take that deep ball away. You can't go over the top on them because they – no. I mean, people have been beating us. People coming into this game, they were 25th out of 32 teams in average yards per pass attempt against. So teams have been beating them down the field. Washington hit them for a 48-yarder and a 68-yarder. 2 weeks ago, yeah, Hightower, and when they last time the Eagles played the Giants, Hightower caught a 50-yarder on him. Fulgham took a 40-yarder on him. Rodgers caught a 30-yarder on him. So teams have been hitting deep balls on this team all year. So this notion that, yeah, well, we had to work underneath because the Giants take that deep ball away. No, they don't. That's, you know, you'd let, that was your strategy. That was your approach. And what it tells me is, it tells me that they're so afraid of Wentz turning the ball over. They're so afraid of him making mistakes right now that they are calling an ultra, ultra conservative game. You know, they didn't attack a team deep because they didn't feel like their quarterback could get the ball there.
Absolutely. Ray, one other thing, because you're smarter than us, is there any pattern or system associated with Doug's decisions on when to go for two?
It not apparent to me. I think that it's they are big into the analytics thing. So they're crunching numbers. They have this whole analytics department that they have put together their own chart for when to go for two and when not to go to two. It sort of strays from the old chart. You know, the old chart from back in the day. Dick Vermeil actually kind of started the 2-point conversion chart. I don't think that they exactly match up. But even having said that, no, I get the feeling that Doug very much goes on kind of a gut feel, you know, and his first impulse always seems to be to go for two. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, his first impulse is to always go for two. He doesn't always, but I think that's what he's thinking initially all the time. And in this case, yeah, I mean, he can try to explain it as much as he wants. Going for it that second time made no sense.
No.
I heard his defense, and I kind of like was rolling my eyes. I said, really? No, that makes no sense. No, you got to get it back to a 3-point game. If you miss there, now it's a 2-score game. And you can't, as the coach, put your team in that position. No, that one made no sense whatsoever. And, you know, he can try to explain it all he wants and talk about analytics or something. But you would have to show me the chart and explain to me why 2 points was a better option there. No, you have to kick the PAT and play from that point.
Well,
there's good luck in 1 hour, Ange, because you got a lot of ground to cover with the coach.
I know we do, and it's probably going to get contentious. But I want to know what goes into those decisions. Wish me luck, Ray. Ray Dittinger, you are the best, and that postgame show just gets better and better. Thank you, my friend.
All right, take care, Andrew.
Ray Dittinger was sponsored by Eagles Checking, developed with the Eagles for Eagles fans, available now only from First Trust Bank, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles, First Trust Bank member FDIC. Back to the phones we go, Art in the Northeast. Hi, Art.
Andrew, I'm sick. I'm fuming.
Talk to me. Let it out.
It's hard to add too much because I agreed with Al at the beginning when he said defense/defensive coordinator. Jonesy said the same thing. Schwartz has got to go because it's not only how many points you give up in a game, it's how and when you give the points up. Giants come down and score so easily. The Eagles come back and cut it, and then right away the Giants score again. I'm not talking after it was 14-3. I'm talking a little later in the game. I can't stand Schwartz. He's got to go. I mean, everybody is responsible for this loss. Peterson, Wentz. I mean, what do you have to lose at this point? Like Rhea said, Wentz can't throw an accurate ball for his life. What do you have to lose? It's not that I'm a Hurst fan. It's just that what do you have to lose at this point by taking Wentz out? Wentz is contributing nothing to this team.
All right, but could you do me a favor, Art? What the hell is their plan with Hurts? Does there appear to be any plan? They put him on the field every once in a while to take a direct snap.
They think the defense doesn't know.
And to get swallowed up by the defense. There's no play.
Why would you put Hurts out there?
I don't know.
And always leave Wentz as a receiver.
You're down a guy.
They know they're not throwing the ball. He's going to try to run it. And the only effective play he made was when he dropped it.
I don't understand what he's on the field for. Wentz is a wide receiver for what?
Exactly.
Get him off the field. Put an actual receiver there.
Is that to appease Wentz? That
I don't have
a
clue what that is.
Art,
it makes no sense.
If you're going to use Hurst, get Wentz off the field.
Yes.
Because there's obviously something not right with him. He can't, like Rhea said, throw an accurate pass for his life.
No,
and
he can't.
If he hasn't done it in 8 games or 9 games, he's not going to do it.
I'm with you. I'm hearing your pain. I really appreciate your input. Let me try to illustrate something I was just talking about. So the Eagles come out of the second half. They've had time to get map out their plan. They go downfield, score a touchdown. They get a two-point conversion. It's a three-point game.
Yep.
14-11. Come on, Schwartzy. Step up. First play, nothing. Gallman, no gain, Jonesy.
Yeah, it was huge.
Second and 10. I will play for you the next two plays in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this.
On second down, Jones back. The rush is coming. He is firing it, and it is caught on a great catch by Shepard. Sterling Shepard went up and came down with the football. He was covered on the play, and he went up. And Avonte Maddox was just beaten for the ball.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of this style of play in the secondary where you just shadow the receiver and try to play the ball out of his
hands. On first down, Jones back again. He is going deep, and it is caught again, this time by Golden Tate. Boy, have the Giants responded.
It was in two plays, 65 yards, 27 and 38. And neither of the defenders have looked back yet.
They still haven't.
They still haven't looked back.
We know what number they
were.
That's all we saw.
This is a good way to play this ball.
No, it's not.
It doesn't work. You can't see it. You can never intercept it because you're not looking for the ball.
Embarrassing.
And that was like, that was when you knew. Because you say to yourself, oh, it's the half. They've had a chance to recoup. Mm. They went right down the field. They got the two-pointer. And in two plays, all that momentum is gone, and in both plays, the defense just did not cover the pass. Right. Unbelievable.
And the quarterback got the ball out quick.
He got it out
my
quick.
God.
Very quick.
Hitting guys in stride.
Yeah, and Wentz doesn't make those plays.
Well, I got a bunch of emails from people.
Yeah.
So they'd rather have Daniel Jones than Carson Wentz.
I would have yesterday.
You took a text from me where I said the same exact thing.
Not yesterday. They mean forever.
Oh. Yeah.
For good.
Well, he did play Division
for good.
One.
And 2 weeks ago, what's that?
Shot.
I said he did play Division I football.
All right, stop it, Jones.
Was at Duke. But.
He's 215-592.
Ryan Baldinger played at Duke.
94-94. Lots more of your phone calls. We've got a doctor coming up to try to explain why Wentz sucks. And then at 8 o'clock, the head coach, Doug Peterson. I can't wait to hear. He's now looked at the tape, Al. Maybe we'll get some answers finally. WIP Sports Time 717.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.